Blog Talk Radio.
You have made it to Stu and the Nun, an online radio show that looks to inform, educate, and hopefully make you laugh. Stu and the Nun is a show focused on national security, policy, politics, and selfless service. We do this by not only interviewing guests, but also sharing our perspectives and asking you, the listener, to interact with us on our show chat room, via our Facebook page, and on Twitter.
All right, everyone, hello and welcome to another episode of Stu and the Nun. You got Stu here and with my good buddy, the Shard. Hey, Shard, how you doing?
Great. How are y'all doing out there?
Hey, so the Nun isn't, the Nun isn't on tonight. He is out at the SHOT Show in Vegas, somewhere I hope to be here one of these days, one of these years. But he's out there this week with his veteran outdoors group. Out there networking, politicking, and pressing flesh, and maybe be seeing a little flesh. I don't know. He's out in Vegas. We're not sure how that works out. Anyway, so he's not here this week. He's off having a good time, so one of us has to work. So I got here. I'm here with you tonight, and like I said, I got my good buddy, the Shard.
Great to be here.
Yeah, you were on our very first show.
Great to be here.
You and I and the Nun.
Absolutely.
Doing it from the primary Southern studio. Tonight we are at the supplemental position.
The Jump Talk.
Yes, the Jump Talk. So we are doing the show tonight from Shard's place. And excited to bring you episode 22 of Stu and the Nun. So a lot of things going on. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff tonight with our guests and amongst ourselves. And speaking of which, I'm talking about our guest tonight. Lieutenant Colonel Mitch Taco Bell. Taco's his nickname. His parents didn't do that to him. He was in the Marine Corps. He retired. He joined in 86. Retired, and I guess last year or so, left active duty in 98, and was hired, he's an American Airlines pilot, flying all over. In fact, he just flew back in the country today, a couple hours ago, I know for a fact. I'll let him talk about that if he wants. He went to the Marine Reserves and still flying KC-130s in the Marines, and then has a couple deployments to Iraq, to Afghanistan. Has done stuff over there with the Afghan police, with prison corrections. So he's done a lot of stuff. Very involved, Taco is, with charities and nonprofits. He directs Purple Hearts Reunited's Valor Guard, which is a return team dedicated to delivering lost medals of valor across the country. So he's involved with them. He's involved with Marine Corps. I don't want to mess it up. But he's involved with several. We'll kind of get that from him. So even though he's retired, like many of us that have retired, he stays very much involved with the community and likes to stay in touch. So we got Taco on tonight, great old friend of mine, known for a long time. And, you know, there's not a lot of point-counterpoint on here, Shar, because we seem to just invite people to think like that.
I know. It's sort of like the thing that, you know, you say you hate the most groupthink and stuff, but yeah. this is the kind of groupthinking that I – prefer and seek out. So.
I mean, we could, and Nana and I have talked about trying to get people in that maybe don't think the same way, but it's hard finding, you know, we don't really hang out with hipsters and strong liberal. We have some liberal friends, don't get me wrong, and we're working on getting some of them on to give us to argue some stuff back and forth, but at the same time, we're not all about wanting to make just conflict. There's enough conflict and argument on the.
I mean, you want me to play the role of the token liberal?
You want to play?
All it is just 180 degrees out of phase with whatever you say.
That's quite an acting feat. I mean, it doesn't really change, like, everything the way you think. You have to think the exact opposite and then come across like you mean it.
obviously very passionate, overly yes. passionate. Yes.
You could talk about safe spaces and.
Yeah, you're actually too close to me right now, and I can't believe we're talking about some sort of armed forces stuff.
And
you
how
know?
Ashamed you are of being white.
Yeah, you know, we're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. I can't. I'm just outraged.
Yeah.
I'm calling the ACLU immediately.
Yeah.
Just shut you down.
Because the American flag and the Pledge of Allegiance, it bothers you, right?
Yeah.
Like, see, you can't do it.
Viscerally.
Nice word. Can you tell Shard was an officer in the Army? He knows the word viscerally. I got to Google that shit. I don't even know what that means.
I can show false motivation, too.
Ooh,
so, you know,
there we go.
It's got me far.
All right. So, good. So, anyways, well, so we got Taco on tonight. We're going to be talking to him. He'll be dialing in a few minutes. Like I said, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Before we get into that, why don't we do the plug?
Absolutely.
We have not done that in a few episodes. Toby and I have. We're still trying to record our outro. We want to try to do some new intros, but we've just been so busy we haven't had a chance to get out. So let's knock that out right now.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There we go. All right.
Man, awesome.
Hope you said it with us.
Yeah, passionately.
I'm going to say you probably did. But, yeah, so a lot going on. Even since our last show last week, where we had Kobe Buzzle on, which was a great show, we had a GOP debate in Charleston,
yes.
South Carolina.
Yeah,
we had a Democrat debate in Charleston, South Carolina.
I did not watch that.
Yeah,
no,
I tried.
Sorry.
I did. Those that listen to the show and follow our Facebook page at facebook.com/stewandthenun, which you can find a link to off our website, stewandthenun.com, and our Twitter account, stewandthenun. Kind of get the theme there. But anyways, we were, Toby and I, mostly me, last week during the GOP debate. I was live Facebook posting and tweeting during the entire event.
I appreciate the commentary.
Yeah, because we were at Toby's place, he did the the State of the Union. That's how I was like, what's the other thing?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, that's what it was.
That was the other thing I did last week.
That's what I did. I live Facebooked and tweeted the State of the Union, of which Toby was playing the State of the Union drinking game because he was at his house. I couldn't do that. I just did that and he did that. And then else last week, and we're going to talk to Taco about it because he was there.
Oh.
Our good friends, the music you hear in the opening of the show, they've been on the show, Madison Rising.
Mm-hmm.
They were played the open premiere of 13 Hours, the true story about Benghazi, and they played there in Dallas Stadium last Tuesday when Toby and I were doing the show. We were like, man, we should have went up there and did the show. That's a couple hour drive and stuff, but yeah, so. They did that, and Madison Rising opened up for that, which was an awesome event. A lot of people were there from the movie and all that kind of stuff. But Taco was there, so I'm hoping to talk to him about that tonight.
Fantastic.
And talk to him about what he saw, how the experience was, all that kind of stuff. So, what did you all have going on last week, man?
Well, you kind of spoke. Some of it, I believe you and I watched the GOP debate together.
Oh, we did. That's right.
That was the only thing I could handle. The other two events I couldn't handle. So that was interesting. I came away still undecided. So I don't know what I'm going to do when the time comes. But see what else happened. And then what was it? January 5th. My buddy from 25 years ago reminded me of that's our first day of we reported for duty at Fort Benning for IOBC, the Infantry Officer Basic Course.
January 5th,
1991, right when Desert Shield was going down.
What,
12 days or 10 days before Desert Storm kicked off? So we were. He reminded me of that. So that was
January 25th.
So I got there.
It was actually after Desert Storm started.
So I got there before. Yeah, Shield was going on, Storm was going on. So when Storm started, we were all like.
We're going
freaked out, and we're going to turn this 16-week course into a 9-week course, into a 5-week course, and we heard about the stories about the pallets of body bags being unloaded at Lawson Army Airfield and all that kind of stuff. So that was kind of interesting, but, when it was all over with so quickly, I guess Fort Benning kind of went quickly back to peacetime mode, and people started, sleeping in building four again.
There we go. So, Yeah, that was another thing that happened this week. There's a lot of stuff going on this week. I see Taco called in, and we're going to go to him in just a second. we're going to find out some of his reflections on this. But, you know, it was 25 years ago this week. Actually, 2 days, well, the 15th was the start of it. The 17th was the official start of Desert Storm as the first birds crossed into Iraq. The first Apaches went in with some payblows and took out Air Force Army Joint Operations.
Yes, think purple.
And, that we used to practice and train for all the time back in the 80s and 90s and blew the hole open in the defense. And first planes went in, and 600,000 plus soldiers and coalition members in the largest battles and ground battles since World War II. 25 years ago, my first war there, Shard.
I'm very proud. You were there and you participated in counter battery fire. I think it's outstanding. Thank you for your service. I got the National Defense Service ribbon out of it.
I got that for you.
So I cheered you on for Fort Benning.
And
so,
I gave you some for it.
Go team, go! Yeah, I got the thanks for showing up ribbon, and then that you got me the thanks for staying during combat ribbon.
And as a young second lieutenant, you thought you were the next Audie Murphy.
The only advantage I had is I'd already gone to Ranger School, so I thought I was more, you know, so.
All that in a bag of.
It's all thought. Yeah.
All that in a bag of bad MREs.
None of it was real. It's just I thought this stuff. I don't know about the reality, but.
All that in a bad dehydrated burger patty.
Ooh, and I was a leg ranger at the time, too. Ooh. I had not been airborne qualified. That came later after IOC.
Yeah. You didn't feel like a man then, did you? But you slept more.
I did.
I heard that. Guys that are leg rangers slept more because they didn't have to do pre-jump drills.
That's not really true. We had to carry stuff with the 60s. We had to, quote-unquote, secure the drop zone. Yeah. I don't know about that.
Okay.
I don't know.
But anyway, so we have another old-time vet coming on the show tonight, and I want to welcome I've had him on my old show before. This is his first appearance on here on Stu and the Nun with Stu and Shard tonight, my good buddy Mitchell Taco Bell. What's up, Taco?
Hey, hoorah, guys. Listen,
how you
talk about
you
the, man, you know, you're talking about 25 years ago, hard to believe, I had just received my wings down in Corpus Christi 2 days before the war started, and
awesome.
The war kicks off, and I'm in Little Rock, and people are calling me up going, hey, what do you think is going to happen? I'm like, hell, I don't know, what do you think? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, listen, I just had dinner at the White House the other night, and President Bush said that, what do I know? I'm in Little Rock flying C-130s with the chair force. But the most demoralizing thing about that was to have that National Defense ribbon on, and you're proud that you actually have some bling, because for 2 years, from 88 to that, bare chest, shooting ribbons. Then to have some gunny come up and go, hey, sir, you're in your Charlies. And he goes, hey, sir, you spilled some pizza. You drop some pizza on your uniform. Shit,
yeah.
That's a pizza stain, isn't it? I'm like, God, thanks, Gunny.
Yeah, no,
and
man.
Then at the ball, that ball in November, to hear all the guys bitch about Kuwait coming out with their medal, and they had to spend all this money to get all their bling rearranged, and all I had to do was take that little National Defense medal, kind of put it, center it up, and throw it on and put the wings on. That was it.
That's it.
A good old
you were
day.
Good to go. Yeah, we came out of that as Young E Infantry 5. We came out of that, and they were throwing more medals and ribbons at us, and it was just like you went from zero to hero via the medal measurement there. Quick, you know, big gold medal from Kuwait and blah, 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 and all that stuff. Saudi Arabia, it was like, man, I sat around for 9 months because I got there really early and fought for about a month, and that was about it. A lot of people didn't even do that. And,
that's right.
But anyway,
did your gas drills, and that was it.
Yeah. But anyways, hey, welcome to the show, man. Good to have you.
Well, thanks for having me on. I apologize if I'm a little punchy. I literally have been up, I think, 30 hours. I got up at 4 this morning in Shanghai, China. And
that's
so I've been up all day in Shanghai, and then we left the hotel about 3:30, and 15 hours later in the air, here I am.
Wow.
Man, that's dedication. That's the kind of guests we like. They fly from China to be on the show.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
We'll get you another cluster for your National Defense Service ribbon or something. That's fantastic.
I gotta earn that crap from the Chi-Coms, man.
There you go.
It's funny, too, because I got an email from one of my Marines, and he goes, hey, sir, you remember that award you put me in for? Well, you didn't put commendatory on the fitness report, and I got to get that on so I can get it into the board for promotion. So really, I'm in China right now. Sir, I'm sorry, it's last minute. Is there a chance you can do it? So I go up to the guest place. The Chinese girl figures out what I'm trying to talk about, emailing this letter to her. And so I email it, the PDF, she prints it out. And then I'm thinking later on, well, that probably wasn't very smart because I know I'm already on their radar for being a Marine.
Yeah.
But now they got their my friggin' what do you call that little number on the back of your CAT card? They change the Social Security number and they give you that little
identification number or something like that. Yeah.
Mm. Right. And I'm thinking, well, it's not like I had top secret stuff, but yes, board, please forgive me.
Man.
I forgot to
all
put
us,
commendatory
all,
fitness report.
Yeah, all of us with security clearances. OPM already gave us all our gave them all of our info anyway, so they got it all.
That's right. That's right. They hacked
that
a couple weeks ago, so you're good.
Yeah, they got all that.
So welcome from China, and you're here with us tonight. And now you retired, was that last year?
No, I retired in June, D-Day.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I retired on D-Day. I just said I want to retire on D-Day, and we had Hawaiian shirts, flip-flops, and shorts in my backyard. My boss, my old boss from Days of Old showed up. We did camis, he and I. And then as soon as we were done with the retirement ceremony, jumped in the hooch, threw on the shorts and Hawaiian shirts, and we got drunk and drove my tank around the backyard and just hooped and hollered and shot off fireworks and had a good time.
There we go. Now, I'll tell us, Shark, about your tank. What's the model in your tank? What age is it and all that stuff?
It's not really a tank. It's an armored fighting vehicle. We scout reconnaissance. It's called a Ferret. The British use these things. They actually use a thing called a dingo chasing Rommel around. And after the war, it came into... They designed, right after World War II, the Ferret. And it's an all-wheel drive, two-man scout reconnaissance vehicle. It has smoke grenade launchers on the front. 7.62 GPMG up in the turret. About three-quarter-inch steel. Goes about 50 miles an hour, forward or reverse. And... It's just a blast. It's a head turner. I mean, I like unique stuff.
Yeah.
My wife bought it to me when I was up on active duty, and I spent 8 months restoring her.
Yeah, so you got it totally. I know you drive it around also, so you got it totally restored and maintained and all that good stuff.
Oh yeah, sitting in the garage, you know. So I pull that thing out like the other day before I left for China. It was probably 65 degrees down here, and I said, "Hey kids, I'm going to pull the Ferret out. Let's go for a drive." So we started loading people up and. Pretty soon neighbors come out and they're like, "Hey, can I get a ride?" "Yeah, sure, jump in." So just don't touch the muffler.
Oh, yeah.
2,000 degrees or whatever, burn your hand, jump up here though.
Does it run on diesel?
No, it's a gas. It's a Rolls Royce. So I am officially part of the Rolls Royce club down here in Dallas, Fort Worth.
So when you get together, Rolls Royce engine, they bring all the Rolls Royces together. You bring that, park that on the lot.
Yeah, I trailer it over, and they've got their Grey Poupon jars, and I have a Bren gun. Excuse me,
that's
do you happen
awesome.
To have
there
a Grey Poupon?
No,
it's
but
fun,
I got
it. Yeah, if you watch Dallas Car Sharks, it's on Velocity Channel. My show probably airs about once a week now. It's called The Ultimate Open Carry. And they called me up and they said, "Hey, would you be interested in being on this television show? It's a reality TV show." "Yeah, sure. Well, how much do I get paid?" "Really nothing. We pay for the gas, drive you over. That's about it. The honor of being on the show." I said, "Yeah, what the hell, I'll do it." And in the show, the Ferret goes through the auction, and these five people bid on it along with probably 100 other people that were there. And they buy cars and then buy them wholesale and then fix them up and sell them retail, and then whoever makes the most money wins that week's contest. Mine went for $32,000 in the auction. And then, quote, we fixed it up, and then I gave the girl a drive in it. So I was getting texts forever from people going, "Hey, man, did you buy another Ferret?" I'm like, "No, I didn't buy another Ferret." "Well, isn't that the Ferret that you own?" "Yes." "Did you really pay $36,000 for it?" "No." It's reality TV, okay?
Yeah, air quotes around reality, right.
Yes, air quotes around reality. A honey boo-boo is not real, okay? it's funny.
No, she
so,
is. I've seen her outside of Fort Hood in some of the nightclubs in Copper's Cove back in the late 80s. She's real. Mm. I've seen her.
Platinum Club.
honey boo-boo? I think she was in North Kakalaki, too. Yeah, I think she used to hang out there as well.
I think she does a good tour. But, a lot of stuff going on. So 25th anniversary of Desert Storm, 25th anniversary of you getting your wings, 25th anniversary of Doug going into OBC.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff happening this week. We talked about before you came on, debates and
oh, did you guys talk about Benghazi?
State of the Union.
We
talked a little bit about that. So I want to hit that first. So you were there last Tuesday when we had our show. Toby and I, we really wish we would have just came up there and did the show from there. But you were there with our good buddy, Dave Brave from Madison Rising and those guys. And how was it? I haven't seen 13 Hours yet. Trying to get Doug to go. He's going to get mad and throw stuff at the screen.
Yeah, I don't want to get all PO'd and be in a bad mood for a week. But anyway.
No, you won't, man. It's how do I describe it? I mean, Michael Bay films are intense anyway. And I believe in his heart, he tries to do the right thing. It's not the Hollywood, it's the right thing. So he apparently got up on, well, first of all, the actors got up, and they kind of talked, and then, that's neat seeing you, go away. Then the real guys get up there. And when the real guys get up there and start talking about their experiences and why they made the film, dead silence. Everybody is riveted to the Jerrytron, you know, the 400-yard giant TV that they're beaming all this up on. Just amazing, because I never read the story about Benghazi. You just kind of hear the snippets in the news. The guys died. Don't know the inside. This movie was, to me, as emotional as watching Band of Brothers, or actually Black Hawk Down would be probably the best to equate it. I thought Black Hawk Down was probably one of the finest films portraying, you know, what those guys went through in real life.
Right.
And when you watch this, you've got six guys against hundreds of bad guys. And they're just lighting them up. And yet, you know, in the middle of a firefight, the guy will turn and he'll say something snippy to the other guy. And you're going, man, that's just real life. Guys are so calm under pressure, but then they'll turn around and say, hey, man, did I ever tell you I did your girlfriend? You know, just stupid stuff. But not that wasn't said in the film. But there were some scenes in there where the guy did something that I just cracked up. And you go,
typical,
that is so real
typical
life.
Typical dark humor that we do in the military, that we have to do to keep our sanity when facing situations that, you know, most people can't even comprehend, right?
No, not at all. And then what really struck me, when I went over to Afghanistan, I was supposed to be a NATO liaison officer with the Brits down in Helmand. And I get over there, and the guy goes, hey, Lieutenant Colonel Bell, we got to change. You're going to go to Kabul, and you're going to be the Afghan National Police liaison guy. I'm like, well, I'm an aviator. How do I rate this? And he goes, well, the guy got hit by an IED, and we got a hot fill, and you're it. Well, how does that work? Well, never mind. You're it. And it was one of the best tours I ever had, but I lived at the embassy, but I worked over at Camp Eggers, if you guys were ever at Kabul.
Yeah.
So Camp Eggers was about, you know, driving from the embassy in ISAF was probably 15 or 20 minutes, depending on how many donkey carts were on the road. But the State Department people, I met some really great ones, and I met some that kind of looked at, you know, they really looked down on you, kind of the whole, oh, you could only join the military, that's all you could do type thing.
Yeah.
And there was some of that in terms of the CIA people saying to these guys, well, these guys are Harvard and Yale grads and blah, blah, blah. You're just trigger pullers. Sit down, shut up, and keep your mouth shut. And they didn't realize the extreme danger that they were in. So when, by the end of the movie, Well, first of all, as the movie's going through, you know what happens. But as the movie's going and progresses, when dawn comes and there is no air support, none, and they're requesting AC-130s, they're requesting F-16s, they've got backup troops, they have Marines loading up in C-130s, and they're all denied. They don't come out and say the White House denied it, or you know, the State Department denied the support, or the Pentagon denied it. All the military guys were itching to go and help these folks. Somewhere up the food chain, it got denied.
Mm.
And that's what will make you angry, but at the same time, your heart's going to swell when you see what these guys do and what they go through. Even up to the end when all of a sudden you're thinking to yourself, geez, man, they're at the Alamo, and they're just about to break through the gates, and they're done. They're out of bullets, and they're out of ideas, and they're out of real estate because they're kind of cornered. And that at the end, I won't, you know, that's the thing I didn't know about. So just watch it, and you're gonna get the dialogue is great, the character development is phenomenal. You're gonna see the respect that these folks who survived this thing, you know, these Harvard and Yale grads realize, hey, you know what? These military guys saved our ass. And,
right.
And that's what makes your heart swell when you go, these are guys that we served with. And there was, I think there were two Marines, two Army and two SEALs that were on top of that roof. Then they had two Delta guys, which were pretty funny. The Delta guys showed up and they're like, you're it? Yeah, we're it. That's all you need. But no, I don't think he said that's all you need. But it was like, yeah, we're it. And, you know, Delta to the rescue. Delta guys come in.
A
great
film. You know,
a lot
of people didn't know about that until last year. Many people didn't. It was like last year before that even came out that Delta showed up.
It was just two guys. They happened to be wherever they were, these two scraggly-looking, long-haired dudes showed up, and they're like, who are you? We're Delta. Yeah, hey, grab your guns, man. We could use you. Come on. There's one scene.
That's all you need.
Yeah, there's one scene where they're driving from the airport, the new guy, the guy from The Office. I can't remember his name.
Oh, Jim.
Got a funky.
There's two guys. There's actually two guys in The Office, right? There's the guy that works in the warehouse, and then there's Jim, the main guy.
Right.
Right, Jim. Jim, the main guy, he gets picked up at the airport by his buddy, and he, you know, it's the hey man, can't thank you enough for coming out. Great to be with you again. Here's your gun. Boom. And all of a sudden, they get stopped at a checkpoint. And that one scene right there is so intense and calm under pressure. These guys, you've just got to see the film. You're gonna be talking about it for weeks.
Yeah, I saw there's a spoiler last night on that, where he tells the guy to look up. I saw that scene. Right.
Oh, you saw that? Okay, so I'm not ruining it.
Yeah.
You know, he goes, look up. Look up. Do you see it? And the guy looks up and he goes, we just took a picture of your face. We know who you are. Anything happens to us, we're not only going to put a drone missile up your ass, we're going to blow your family up, we're going to kill your friends, we're going to kill everybody. You know, the guy is like, let them through! Let them through!
What are you doing? Let them through.
Yeah, let them go through. Let them through now. Go! Ha la la! Ha la akaba!
Yeah.
But, it's phenomenal.
So let me ask you, because we only got a little while, you know, we got a lot of stuff to cover. What was the emotions like? I mean, you talked about beforehand seeing the guys, but then once the movie showed, and then once the movie ended, I mean, was it just pure silence in the entire stadium? Was
no,
there crying?
I mean, there must there was between 25 or 27,000 people packed on one side of the stadium watching this thing. And everybody, to a T, was up, standing, applauding these guys. It was phenomenal.
It must have been.
You know, there were some scenes in there where the bad guys, they took out some bad guys, and there was a lot of, yeah, get some, motherfuckers. You know, there was a lot of vets there, and it was kill fucking Hodges, kill him now. You know, there was a lot of them. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not allowed to cuss on this, am I? Sorry.
Yeah, you can. We're not FCC. This isn't terrestrial radio. You can cuss.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that, folks. Didn't mean to let my inner Marine slip out of me, but yeah, it was phenomenal. Yeah, and the reception was great. And then I get a text from Sal. Hey, come upstairs, Taco. We're in whatever suite. So I go up there, hanging out with Ty and Sal and the new guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was up there, but I only got to shake hands with him for a minute. But hung out with Sal and Ty Carter. They didn't get to watch it as much because they were up in the suite and it was pretty loud and the audio was kind of bad going into the suite. So they had more fun just hanging out with all their bubbas, and that was neat seeing them.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
hanging out with those guys just made my night. You know, that's one of those. They come down for the Skyball. We see them at Skyball, and next day I actually had to go out meet Ty at Dallas to give him a Stetson that he left behind when he came down for Skyball. So it was good to see him and Jen. They were just great people.
Yeah.
The movie, well worth it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say the mood of everybody there, veteran after veteran, it was incredible. Well behaved. There were some great, you know, everyone had Hillary 2016 for prison. You know, there was one T-shirt, Islam's not a religion, it's a disease. I thought, you know, that's great. But there was a lot of military folks that were at this thing, and I was surprised. The line was forever to get in.
I'm assuming it was free to get in, right?
It was absolutely free. All you had to do, Ticketmaster ran it. All you had to do was sign up and get the tickets.
Really?
And they electronically sent them to you, and boom, printed them out. And I showed up thinking, oh, I got to produce this. No, you didn't even have to show your ticket. You were just in line. They just let you in.
Wow.
I know that
wow.
Some people didn't. They left. The news said, 1,000 people left, got up and left because the sound was horrible. Well, if you were directly in front of the screen in all the sections that they put you in, the sound was great. If you're one of the people that decided to show up late and came to the event that, I think the movie started at 8. I got there at 5:30 with my mom. I took my mom as my guest. She really wanted to see that. We had great seats. Then everyone that showed up late, they put them kind of on the side, so you're looking at the screen sort of diagonal. Not very good. So I could see why somebody probably would have left.
So,
all the actors were walking around. Everyone was just really cool.
Very accessible. They were kind of just walking and talking to people and all that kind of stuff.
Yep, yeah. And they did the red carpet kind of thing. They had some MC from Extra Tonight, ET or whatever, and he was up there talking, just fantastic MC. And he would get the guys out and kind of draw the conversation. And the bottom line that like Michael Bay said, I didn't do this movie for political purposes. This movie's not for political purposes. This movie is a tribute to the guys that died, Ambassador Stevens and the rest, the three contractors.
Right.
So this movie's about the guys.
Yeah. Well, I thought I was definitely going to go see it. If I don't go see it this week, I'm definitely going to see it this weekend. I've been totally stoked to see it. I've been watching all the interviews on Fox those guys have done. Tonto and all those guys and Tig and stuff like that. And,
they're just phenomenal guys.
Yeah. Hey,
and there's Oz
there
holding his daughter in his arm.
Wow.
Yeah, the arm.
And
he
had his arm blown off.
He's pretty much
lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like got mangled or something. Yeah.
It's just dangling. And here's the thing. Here's Oz with his arm severed, just hanging on by probably a couple tendons. They get him off the roof. They get him into the sick bay, and they're trying to immobilize it and wrap it, and they've got a tourniquet on his arm, and you think the end is here. And that son of a bitch reaches over and says, hey, grab my gun. And they grab it. It's like, now what? He goes, cock it. You know, pull the leverback and put a round in there and give it to me. He was ready to go down with the last bullet. I mean, it was just one of those, makes your heart swell. Jeez.
Yeah.
Kind of like
yeah.
Black Hawk Down when those guys come running in, and at the very end they're going through the chow line, and he's loading up ammo and goes, "You're going back out there?" He goes, "Yeah." You know, people always go, "Hey, man, are you some kind of warmonger?" Not
yeah.
about that. It's about the guys. I mean, I want to shed a tear every time I hear that. It's about
yeah.
the guys,
yeah.
which is true. It's about the guys to the left and to the right. But
yep. Hey, speaking of about the guys, I want to talk a little bit about, okay, we got a lot of stuff to cover. I want to talk a little bit about not only some of the nonprofits and charities. We'll start with Purple Hearts Reunited and talk about that. Let our listeners know a little bit what that's about. It's not a widely known nonprofit. And then let's talk about some of the other things you're doing and some of the other nonprofits you're very involved in.
Well, Purple Hearts Reunited, Army captain, he's an active duty Army captain named Zachary Fike, and he's up in Vermont right now with the was it Vermont National Guard? But he's the active
yeah.
duty guy. So, you know, he came back from Afghanistan. He got hit by a rocket. I think he was in Iraq. And so he took some shrapnel from a rocket attack. And when he came home, his mom bought him a Purple Heart at a thrift store because he collects military memorabilia. And on the back, when he got it, he opened it up, there was a name on it. And he realized, hey, this was given posthumously. And he goes, "Mom, I can't keep this. I got to give this back to the family." And it drove him to track down the relatives of this World War II soldier. And it turns out that the family had been separated by a rift in the family. And this medal brought the family back. And he saw the really good things that became of this. And a lot of times it's, you know, we always say it's a God thing. If you could imagine, he decided, you know what, I'm going to start dedicating myself to these medals, getting them and returning them to the families. If you could imagine a Purple Heart being lost or recovered in any form or fashion, it's been done. I mean, literally, we have 25 stories that we basically, we've signed a contract to do a reality-based television show on our exploits. And the show basically would evolve around, you know, finding the medal, how it's recovered, then the history on that individual, the unit and the battle, and then the actual, like, return to the family. So Mike Wolf from American Pickers and Tackle Box Productions, ended up signing a contract with them, and they're pitching to Amazon, Life, and Military Channel and all those things. So we're seeing if
wow.
something becomes of this. It would be kind of neat if it did. What would be better is if, like, a network picked up something like that, and then they could pay an actor to play me and Zach, because I'm having too much fun flying around the world. I don't think I have time to take 6 weeks off to go film a show.
Yeah.
But if,
yeah, I mean,
if,
you know,
like,
I could see history. History's got so many shows. I mean, I can see History. I can see A&E. Any number of channels have picked that up, you know?
Yeah, there are a lot of channels that are kind of interested, but, you know, the bottom line is there's reality TV is cheap to make, and it's, you know, we're not in it for the money. We kind of sit there and joke about, well, if it doesn't go, great, because we just continue doing what we're doing for the foundation that we've created.
Right.
This weekend, I've got to go down to San Antonio and return a medal to a Medal of Honor recipient.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's passed away, to the family. Somebody broke in their house, and they stole this guy's Bronze Star and Purple Heart when they robbed the house. What they missed was the Medal of Honor framed on the wall behind them. You know, so thank God they didn't get the Medal of Honor.
Right.
But we're going to return that, and I've got a young soldier up near Louisville, Kentucky. His Purple Heart was stolen in a break-in, and it was given to him by Dick Cheney. So I have a letter from Dick Cheney and a coin, and I've got to go up there and do a return for him. got, I mean, Zach's got, he gets 3 to 5 every week. People find
out. How are you getting them? Are these the original ones that were stolen and lost and stuff? How are you getting them back? Are police finding them? Are people selling them in pawn shops or what?
Well, no, I mean, you know what? It's crazy, all right? I can tell you, one was found, like, off the coast of Florida by a scuba diver. Just swimming
really?
On a reef, found a Purple Heart on the reef. All right, a couple in Colorado driving down the road find a dog, and they take it to the vet and get the dog back to health, bring it home, adopt it. And the dog goes into the backyard, and the first thing it does, goes out into the middle of the backyard and digs a 1-foot hole and uncovers a Purple Heart. The only hole it dug, found a Purple Heart buried a foot down that we returned to the daughter out in Colorado. And actually pinned the medal to the dog, and the dog went up and it's like a lab, gave the medal to the daughter. I did an Atlanta Braves game. We returned a World War II Navigator. Guy came home, got married to his high school sweetheart or the girl he was sweet on. Went back over to Europe. Plane gets shot down over Bremen, Germany. Blown up, boom, dead. Medal goes to the spouse. She turns around and gets remarried to another guy. Now, I'm not saying that she was in it for the SGLI or anything, but it put a rift between his parents and her because she went right away and got married to another serviceman. When she passed away, the grandkids are going through her belongings and they find this Purple Heart, certificates and all this other stuff, and they go, who is this guy? We don't even know. I think she was married to him in the war. We don't know. And they put it in a donation pile to a thrift store. The thrift store owner had seen our Purple Hearts Reunited run on Fox News, and he contacted Zach and sent it back to him. We returned it to the niece down in Georgia. She lived right outside of Atlanta, Georgia. Then we had a return at the Atlanta Braves game. I called Doc Ballard, a Medal of Honor recipient, Navy guy I work with. I said, hey, Doc, do you want to do a return at the Kansas City Royals game? Yeah, I'd love to. Great. So we got out there on the mound and returned Purple Heart and some other artifacts to the niece and the daughter of this fallen soldier. So there's lots of different ways that the medals are lost and then recovered. Another neat one that I always thought was kind of cool, well, two of them. A woman in a nursing home had her brother's Purple Heart, and she carried it with him every day. And then when she lost it one day, and the nursing home staff turned the place upside down, never found it. She literally died of a broken heart probably 2 weeks later, that she lost that medal. Because, you know, you figure back in the war, you know, a young man goes off to war, and the parent, that son dies. And in the mail, you know, maybe a month after he died in battle, that medal arrives, right? Well, first of all, you get the telegram. Hey, your son's dead, died in, you know, the invasion of Salerno. And then 30 days after that, you get a follow-up package from the Department of Defense with that medal. And the parents would put that medal up on the mantle, and it was the last representation of your son's ultimate sacrifice for this country. So it really transferred a lot of it, of that person, to the medal. And it just meant so much to these different people. So anyway, the medals sometimes get separated. In this case, it got lost. It got caught in the lint container when they washed her sweater or did something. And it was in the dryer lint thing, and they didn't find it for a couple years. And they finally cleaned that out with a big industrial dryer. And it sat in the drawer, and they ended up returning it to Zach. Zach did the research, found out that this was the sister of the guy that died, but he had like 5 siblings, and then returned it to the family. We had another one where a guy in the 50s is on a bulldozer, and he finds some medals in a trash pile that somebody had just thrown away, had the names on the back and the whole 9 yards. And sat in a drawer, and the kids played with them, grandkids played with them. finally they returned him to Zach, and we got him back to the family.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, you're just giving us snippets of some of those stories. I would imagine that would just make for phenomenal TV. You know, there's that show out now that just started weekend before last, Live the Tell. I've been DVRing it. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but I mean, that's just those are guys that either got either wounded or they were next to guys that got killed in combat, and they're just telling the stories, you know. And
oh, I haven't heard.
What's interesting? It's called Live the Tell. I think it's on A&E or History. It looks really, really good. It was the guy that made, the producer that made Lone War.
Lone Survivor.
Lone Survivor.
A Lone Survivor. He realized that was just one story, and all the different stories that were in that, and he came up with the idea, and he teamed up with his Navy SEAL guy who's involved out in Hollywood, and they put this show together and pitched it like you guys are probably doing, and somebody bit, and it's on History, and so you have to check it out. But I mean, you're talking about stories not just in the last 14, 15 years. You're going back eons. Right? I mean, you're going back to World War II or Korea or Vietnam.
You might even go back to World War I on some of the stuff. You don't even know yet because you're still working it.
He has returned some World War I Purple Hearts.
Wow.
That were issued, after World War I when it actually came into being on Washington's birthday. But he's returned a couple of the World War I medals. I've done, I think, 7 or 8 returns. Just basically, we have a bunch of airline guys who have the ability to fly for free, and they're also, we feel, a vet needs to do this return. So these guys are all former military, either retired or former military aviators, and they go out someplace to, I put the word out, hey, I've got a return in Boise, Idaho. And I'll have 3 or 4 guys jump on it. Hey, I can fly to Salt Lake, and we'll rent a car. Who's with me? And 3 or 4 guys will jump on it. They'll go up and do a return.
Wow.
So it's really, really neat, and we're getting a lot of good response. That's one thing.
Hey, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
No, finish up what you were saying, and then I want to jump. We only got about 10 minutes left, so I want to jump on that one more topic that you and I talked about. We have to cut. So,
no. You know
what you're going to say?
talk about medals. I recovered a coin while I was getting my hair cut, and it was a POW and a Purple Heart coin. And it had this honor, courage, commitment, whatever, with this guy, G.W. Sprayberry. Well, I look him up, the POW, I look him up on the national DARPA list or whatever it is, and he's not on there. And then so I send him over to Mary. Mary runs a FOIA on him and comes back. No, he was never a POW. So I do all the due diligence, turn him into NCIS with all my information. We go over and talk to the guy. We end up getting him busted. We got a second-degree felony for state felony for forgery of government documents to receive benefits. He got Purple Heart license plates with a fake DD-215. Now, what you and I were talking about was the whole VA thing. And this is what cracks me up and kills me, is I'm working with a kid with no arm, and I'm working with a kid that has his legs blown off. And one is 70% VA disability, and the other one's only like 80%. And yet this turd that I busted has 100% disability, and he only served 5 years and got out in 69 as a healthy young guy. How is he 100% disabled? We've got a problem
right.
in the VA. We've got a huge problem in the VA. And when my daughter...
Let's talk about... You just came into some great info in the last 24 hours about that. So why don't you let me and Doug and our listeners know a little bit about some of the stuff you found out from a very good inside source.
So I'm flying with a guy whose wife works for the VA out in New Mexico. And I'm not going to say what or position or anything put her in jeopardy, but
right.
She goes, what's really frustrates her, and the guy I'm flying with is a Navy pilot. He just says, those idiots, that whole uproar was over. Do you think they got fired? And I said, I hope they got fired. And he goes, no, they sent him home for 2 years with pay. They never got fired. And then they turned around and they put them all in back into positions of power. So none of those guys.
So all the ones in Phoenix and all those different ones that the investigative reporters found out and the undercover reporters were able to put stings on and people turned in, none of them got fired. They all got sent essentially 2 years of free leave.
Vacation, basically.
Yep, 2 years paid vacation.
Yeah, there's just no accountability anymore. And, you know, I don't mean to get all political, but who has been fired from the federal government in the last 8 years, the last 16 years?
Well, that's why, I mean, McDonald came in. He's apparently a vet, and he came in and was supposed to really straighten it out. And when I know when they had them back in front of Congress last year, he was talking about how, you know, they fired like one person, and it's just not that easy, and he can't fire him and all that kind of mess. I just, you know, it's stuff like that, Taco, and I know you know this, so for our listeners too. That's the reason why guys like Donald Trump have such popularity, you know, because someone like him isn't going to dance around the tools. If anyone can fire somebody, it's him. And it's just amazing that, I've worked around the government, in the government, contracted the government many years. You can fire people. I've seen some very inept people fired. Granted, I've seen a lot that weren't. They should have been. But
well, in her case, I mean, you're talking about GS workers, and you got that little mafia in the union going. So what did they – he said they argued that their rights weren't presented properly to them, accountability, blah, blah, blah. They didn't – you know, you've got to notify them, and then you have to follow up, and then you have to do a course of action. And if you don't do all these proper steps, you can't fire somebody. And what they'll do
– yeah.
What she ended up doing, what was the story? She had a Hispanic gal that was – claiming she wasn't being promoted because she was Hispanic and would come in and say all this stuff to her. She said, no, you're not being promoted because you're not working hard enough to be promoted. And the girl was just hostile, and she turned it around on her and ended up getting her sent to Big Springs. It was one of those, hey, you can either, you know, resign or go, or you can go to Big Springs, your choice. Well, then they get a paid move, and they go to Big Springs, Texas. But, you know, he said the problem with the VA is that in the bureaucracy, people get homestead, and they stay in that one place, and it's a little fiefdom.
Yeah,
and he goes, you know, it probably should be like the military. Every 3 years you move, right?
Yeah.
And then
that's a small sample. Whether it's Champus or TRICARE or VA, that's a small sample of what it's like to have government-run health care.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a glimpse into the future.
But this is every agency, though, throughout the federal, you know, mammoth federal bureaucracy in any, you know, any department you can name. And this is just a snapshot of that.
Yeah, my 16-year-old is a big Bernie Sanders supporter, which, hey, you know what? I'm proud of you for at least liking something, not sitting on the couch and not being active. But we have these discussions, and I say, you know, healthcare is not going to work. Obamacare will not work. Of course it will. We need healthcare for everybody. You know what, honey? Less than 1% of this nation wears our uniform, and yet the VA can't even take care of these guys, and they're committing suicide because they can't get in there. So tell me that they're going to take care of some inner city, you know, mom in Baltimore with Obamacare. They're not. They can't. The federal government cannot do that. They just don't have the power or the, you know, the wherewithal to do that. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's truth.
Yeah.
It's sad.
I know. It's
extremely sad.
And, you know, and the sad thing is there's some decent VAs out there. There's no doubt, you know, there are some good ones, but there's a whole bunch that aren't good, which is no different than the military or cops or anything else, right? There's good and bad. Unfortunately, it always seems the bad has the 80-20 rule, right? 20% causes 80% of the damage. You know?
Yeah. Or we always say, there's always 10%, man. There's 10% of officers that are jerks, 10% of enlisted that are going to kill you, 10% of these guys are going to drive you nuts. You know, it's always the 10% rule.
Yeah. But that's something. Just the whole, when you told me that earlier about the 2 years of just paid, just chill out the house and watch Netflix kind of stuff for 2 years, getting paid a government job and accumulating civil service points at the same time.
Yeah, retirement, everything that goes with it. It's
but, you know, that's no different than Lerner, right? Lois Lerner, you know. They kept her and put her on a paid leave until she hit a retirement age and let her retire out and kept her out of the whole IRS thing, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, and they never get rid of them. They just, they didn't even feel the pain. They did not feel the pain. But you and me, we'd be put up on NJP in a heartbeat, right?
Right. Oh, absolutely. You know, it's that kind of stuff. I haven't decided who I'm voting for yet, but, you know, part of that is what makes me want to vote for Trump. I want to see him just go in there and
flip the table, and just say, you're all fired.
Clean house. You know? Start over. If anyone's going to do it, it's going to be him because he's from way outside the establishment. But, part of me, a lot of stuff he says and does, I'm not necessarily a big fan of, but part of me, that piece makes me want to go, yeah. And I think that's why he has such popularity. A lot of people are like, you know what? I don't think he's, you know, everyone's favorite, but, you know, they look at the best of the worst, and they're probably like, well, at least maybe he'll freaking change something.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
I don't
know, a chance.
People are so afraid of the truth.
Yeah.
Amen, brother. That's
people are so afraid of the truth. When you look at, like, England, who was that chick I saw? Megan something. Kelly, not Megan Kelly, but it was something. The girl that put out the petition to ban Trump from ever entering UK.
Oh, yeah, she's the news lady. Yeah, she's the news lady over there. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, and what he said was
right.
The truth. There are sections of London that police are definitely afraid of going into because they've become radicalized. And, you know, the UK has got their problems. Everybody's got their problems over there right now. But it's the truth.
Yeah.
But they're afraid to say it.
Yeah.
Might offend.
Hey, you know, I saw a meme post the other day. It said, "Not every Muslim is ISIS. The rest of them are Taliban and Al Qaeda."
you know what? only a very small percentage of Muslims are bad guys. Well, how many Muslims out there? I don't know. 1 billion. Yeah. So let's say 10%. Are bad guys out of 1 billion. What does that leave us? About 1 million? I mean, what is it going to take? I don't know.
We only got a couple minutes left. I want to give you 1 minute to kind of anything you want to let our listeners know, where to find you at. I know you used to blog. I don't think you've blogged a lot in a while. And anything else you want to just kind of wrap up and let our listeners know about in the last minute?
You know what? If you want to donate to a charity that gives 100% back, it's us, just two of us, Zach Fike and I, Purple Hearts Reunited. All monies go to making the frames and flying them out and getting them out to the people. That's it. So thanks so much, Troy. I really appreciate you letting me spew madness like a madman. And like I said, I apologize if I've been talking too much. Been cooped up in the silver tube.
Fantastic. You had a lot more to cover than I thought. I thought we'd be talking State Union and this and that, whatever. You know, until I got your updated bio, I didn't realize you were involved with this. And I got reading about it. I was like, wow, what a great organization from the website.
That's
was
fantastic.
Like, you know, so I'm glad, man. We should have had you on a while ago, but we'll have to have you back on when Toby's not AWOL out in Vegas at the SHOT Show. We'll have to have you back on. I'm sure we got a lot more we can talk about.
Oh, yeah, you sure, brother. Anytime. Hey, you guys make it up to Dallas-Fort Worth, let me know. I'll take your ride in the ferret, and we'll go terrorize the neighborhood. We've got two Saladins, which they're six-wheeled vehicles with a 76-millimeter cannon on them, and we've got four ferrets with another one coming in to a guy down the road here from me, the 25th.
Hey, CJ doesn't have crap on you. You are the ultimate open carry.
Yeah, you are the ultimate open carry. You know what? The Colleyville police, we go give them, you know, donuts and cookies and all that stuff and take those guys for rides because literally we'll drive down and we're in British uniforms just to be the part of the vehicle's history. And we'll go to
That's awesome,
or we'll go somewhere and people will call 911. There's a bunch of "Oh, tanks driving down the road." And
the Brits are coming.
Yeah, we got British flags on it. We were somewhere, and they go, "So where are you guys from?" I said, "Well, actually, you know, we're from the UK. We're over from England." "Well, what are you doing over here?" "Well, we're on exercise, you know, because sometimes the Queen requires us to travel, so we have to go visit the colonies like yours, and we show force and we do stuff like that."
That's show force.
Wow, man. And I'm like, "Yeah, it's brilliant, right? Yeah, it's really nice. Yeah, yeah. I think those vehicles are quite flash. Yeah, it's very nice." And it's just like, "Wow, man, that's cool. Hey, come here and meet these guys. They're from England." Like, "Yeah, man, we're from England." We're from England
about
400 years ago.
You got to do that. No, we decided we're taking this place back.
Yeah.
Right. We're bringing it back.
Yeah, we don't like all this gun control, so we're going to exercise our right. You know, we talked about painting UN on the vehicles, and then we pull up next to by the stoplight.
Oh, yeah.
Go,
dude, get you some light blue berets.
Oh,
yep,
and
go.
And Jay Helm would,
hello.
Jay Helm would have nothing on
you. We're from the UN. We're here to collect your weapons. Where do you live? May we follow you?
Oh man, you'll be on the Alex Jones show here right out of Austin.
You'll be on the cover of InfoWars, dude.
Absolutely. Wouldn't that be funny? Man. That would be fantastic.
Hey, there's a whole bunch of dudes.
It's bad enough.
Helm.
I'm probably on some hit list from the DEA or ATF or Obama, DHS, whatever, you know. Oh, he's a militant lieutenant colonel marine. Oh, my God, he's a war vet. Oh, he's probably crazy. He's got an armored car. Oh, my God. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. If ATF comes knocking, they're not going to be here to talk about your smoking or drinking.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you guys have a great night and great talking to you, all right? Hoorah.
Hey,
thank you.
Take care and God bless, man.
Take it easy, Taco. Have a good one, man.
You bet. Hoorah. God bless you.
All right, everybody. Well, we went a little bit over, so if you're listening to this, that means you're listening to the archive. We are a couple minutes over, but, wow, what a great show.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm totally going to support that his charity. I'm going to totally do that. That's a great cause.
Two guys, and they're just out there delivering. Well, more than two. He's getting pilots to join it, and they're going all over. I mean, that's
just to honor that sacrifice and bring family members together. I think it's just unbelievable.
I'm so glad I had him on to talk. Like I said, I knew nothing about that. I was talking to him earlier, and I was like, "Hey, I need your bio," an updated one. And he's like, "Oh, let me get it for my Purple Hearts from United time." I'm like, "You're what?"
Yeah.
And I haven't talked to him in a while. It's been about a year or so. You know, we chat online in some groups and stuff, but I mean, I had no idea he was doing this. So what a great, what an impact they're having. It goes to show. I mean, this show's about, you know, selfless service is one of the mantras of it, and the whole thing. And it's like, you know, he did his time. He did, you know, 29 years in the Corps, and doing is still producing and still giving back.
Right.
Even if it's not affecting me as a people, the people he's affecting is life.
Deep, and that's what matters. Amen, brother.
Yeah.
The actual individual impact of every good deed he does. That's fantastic.
So I hope they get that real. That would be great for people.
That would be so awesome.
It sounds like they have the guys from Pickers and stuff behind it.
That's
maybe
the perfect kind of.
Yeah.
Because it's history related. It's right up their alley.
Right,
that's
right.
Perfect.
But all right. Well, there you go, everybody. Again, you're listening to the After the Show show, or also known as Stu and the Nun.
After.
Yeah. But anyways, hey, thanks for joining Shard and myself. We have some great shows coming up. Just heard from got a big guest we're lining up for February. We're going to be talking about that really soon. Got the word tonight. And we'll be back next week with episode 23. Nun will be back. We'll be working on, I forgot who we got as a guest. I think he's working someone up. And maybe we'll just get a recap from the SHOT Show or we'll get somebody on from there. So we look forward to you guys tuning in next week here at StuInTheNun.com. And we'll talk to y'all next week at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night.
Take care, all. God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.